What's good? What's good? We are back. Another live from Fayetteville Friday. And I don't hear my DJ sound. There it goes. There it goes. The one and only Paul Masson. Another live from Fayetteville Friday. Have a guest coming on soon. And we're going to give him a little bit of time. He definitely texted me earlier. Make sure we was good and whatnot. And this would be the second time he's actually been on this show and whatnot. So
smash that like button.
Tomorrow I'll be doing music reviews, probably about 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure y'all submit to livefromfayetteville@gmail.com for that. And probably going to get us some conspiracy theories and whatnot once our guest gets here. And we're going to talk about his new single. And I got a couple questions about, you know, just his past. And we're probably going to talk about, you know, the state of hip hop today and things of that nature. And there he goes right now. So we're going to bring on our guest. Been on here twice. This will be his twice on here now. And he coined the phrase, wake up in the morning, got the yearning for herb. And we about to find out if he actually coined the phrase madism. I always wondered that. So let's bring on the one and only Hakeem Green. Grant. Hakeem, what's up, man?
What's up, bro?
How you doing?
I can't complain. Well, actually, I can complain, but nobody cares. Got a lot of complaints, actually. Nah, that's all good.
So I always wonder, did y'all come up with the term madism?
No, we did not come up with the term madism. However, we made that shit stick. Madism is the weed. I think Reggie Redman says it in How to Roll a Blunt.
Oh, okay. It
was before madism. And then KRS-One in a blunt getting smoked and I can't wake up. Says we rolled the ism inside that, and that was before madism. So, you know, and all we do with spark madism is from I Got You Open by
okay,
Moon into the stage, second verse. All we do is spark madism. That's the jigga jiggas right there in the song madism. So,
but y'all mainstreamed it,
yeah. We gave it that stamp. Bow, we said this is what it is. Madism is a lot of weed, a lot of pot. Mad means a lot, ism means pot. So yeah, madism. All we do is spark. Mad is two words, not one word, two words. Madism.
So I want to go ahead and get into the single, and I got some questions later. So the song Don't Sell Your Ass. Ooh. I listened to it a few times today. it sounds like it's referencing modern day rap culture.
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not just rap. That's not rap culture. American pop culture.
Okay.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, sex, drugs, hip hop. You know, it's just a world that has always existed. It's just that hip hop culture now being mainstream popular culture kind of carries the burden for this, the negativity that exists. And the song itself is just, hey, listen. This world exists and these people exist, and you don't want to find yourself in uncompromising situations. Don't sell your ass.
So I want to talk about a few lines and just references. Like one that stuck out to me, it's sad, it's academics and it's Vlad. They run and tell our business and had the nerve to get mad. Could you go deeper into that one?
Yeah, just where we at with kind of social media and, you know, everybody rushing to get likes and we'll see. Yeah. Anything to get out there, and then you have folks who are making careers, making a living as journalists, but aren't really journalists. They're just, you know, what we call them. They're just people who like to dig up dirt, and you know, I think too many of us are falling into that trap, going onto these platforms and divulging too much of our personal business. We incriminate ourselves, mm-hmm. You know, we kind of reinforce all the negative stereotypes that are out there about us. And, you know, when shit don't go our way, we get mad, but we did it to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's what that line is about.
So you think academics and Vlad are definitely two guys that exploit that?
Not just them. You know, it's just kind of like the nature of that thing, you know, where it's, you know, what do you call it? What's the term I'm looking for? You know, it's just bullshit. Yeah. It's bullshit at the end of the day. It's not going to move us anywhere. It's not going to organize people around nothing real. It's he say, she say. It's just, you know, just promotion of negativity in all our just, it's just hard. It's horrible. Vlad, academics, of course, and everybody, not, I shouldn't say everybody, but way too many folks out there just leaning on the negative to get likes and views, and that shit is whack.
Now, is there a difference between negativity and controversy? Because, like, I get what you're saying. A lot of people just always go for negative, but it seems like when you try to put out clips with the positive, people just, they brush by it, you know? And then once you get, like, I guess controversial or negative, that's when people act like they're more interested.
Yeah. Well, you know, you appeal to the lowest common denominator. You know, some of it is you reach people where they are, and there are platforms that kind of do a good job of that in terms of bending down, but they don't forget to stand up. And there's a larger message to it. There's a purpose for it. And then there's folks who just kind of like wallow in the mud, you know, hang around the cesspool. You're bound to get shit on. When you involve yourself in a certain energy, you involve yourself with a certain thing. It's just a matter of time before the doodle gets on you. You just can't avoid it. It comes in all different ways, shapes, and forms, you know?
Yeah, because I know as my personal preference of interviewing, I don't typically even like to ask anything that might have happened negative in a person's life that, you know, might have got out there in the public eye. And I try to stay away from controversial. I let it kind of be organic. If the artist decides they bring it up, and then I might, you know, go further into it in depth on it. But it seems like some people, like you said, they're chasing those clicks. So they're chasing this negativity.
Yeah. And that does burn out, you know, hang around the cesspool, you're bound to get shit on. No matter who you are, no matter what level of the game you achieve, you know, there's still a lot of bullshit you got to deal with. I think Big said it best, more money, more problems. Like you would think that you get more money, you get more success, you get more what you kind of sought out to get, your problems would go away. But the people that you have around you, just the nature of the business, so to speak, you know, more money, more problems. Now you got people envy, jealousy, hate, you know, you got to contend with all of that. And even with that unfortunate story, rest in peace, Biggie Smalls, of course, and rest in peace, his mom, Mrs. Wallace, Valletta Wallace, passed away early today. And that's a big loss.
She did?
Yeah, man.
Today? Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but the word went out today. I don't know if she actually passed, but the word went out today. But, you know, again, you know, that's a real life story. Of, you know, unfortunately, people wallowing in the mud. And it's just, you know, when you got certain types of people and certain types of energy who don't know no better, who don't know no different, they only know what they know. And they're hovering around, you know, they're looking to exploit, they're looking to grift, they're looking to fucking take advantage of a situation. And, you know, you have to watch that in the industry, which is different than hip-hop culture, though hip-hop culture has to do a better job of maintaining itself and how we represent ourselves, of course. But, you know, I just want to make that distinction.
So there's a reference on a line. I'm guessing you're referencing Sexy Red and her line. That I guess that, do you think she really got big off of that one line, "My booty hole's brown"?
I don't know if she got big off just that one line, but just to think that that's where people's minds are, you know, like, you know, whether she said it, you know, now, mind you, I think as artists, we have the right to say whatever it is we want to say.
I agree.
You know, I don't ever want to censor people and tell people what they cannot say. Now, you could say.
Yeah, I totally agree with, like, you know, I can't anything
hard to say. You should have the freedom to say that. Long as it's not, you know, promoting violence against other individuals. But you see where we at with that bullshit, right? That's a whole other. But in terms of Sexy Red, it's like, it's more like society's, like our people, young people, young or old, just your mind state and where it's at when that's like the mainstream, that's the popular, that's the default, that's kind of where we are, where our minds are. Mm-hmm. Ugh, it's a scary situation, you know?
Yeah, I don't think you would have, like, if we would have heard that in the 90s, I don't, that would have been a head scratcher.
Well, so here's the thing, you know, like, all we do is spark madism, right? I used to be a school teacher, right?
Okay, so, yeah.
I have to be real with the fact that, you know, there's teenagers all across America that was smoking weed on their way to school listening to my song.
Yeah.
And something that's like, you know, when I think about that, you know, it's like I have a responsibility at the same time to kind of counterbalance that. So, of course, I was a school teacher before the music industry, but I still, you know, stuff with youth 24 hours a piece is one of the things I do. You know about that. Right. So it's like,
Yeah.
How do we balance it and not just make it all about my booty hole brown? Can't just be that. Like the national anthem for a while, like the national anthem. Fuck bitches, get money, fuck niggas, get money. That was the national, basically, in the hood.
Yeah. But
like kids are listening to that going to school, smoking weed, eating candy, on a sugar high, a weed high, and in the background, fuck bitches, get money, fuck niggas, get money. What's on their mind? Fuck niggas, get money, fuck bitches, get money. That was what, 98, 99?
Yeah.
We are long ways in. So it ain't even about just pointing at the youth, because, you know, I could point at myself, which I just did, and we could look at each other as, like, where are we really heading? Where is this really going? I got this saying, when anything goes, everything will.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it seems like we're at a point now that the sound has led to where these artists got to do things for shock value to get that attention. Like DaBaby had to wear a diaper at South by Southwest and whatnot.
All right, so listen. Bismarck used to wear a diaper.
Okay.
On stage with a diaper.
He did? Wait, I didn't remember that. Damn.
Yeah, and George Clinton Parliament Funkadelic. Not with a diaper. So in terms of expressing his character, expressing his tradition, actually, of being artists who come out in a diaper. Now, you know, I'm not going out there with a diaper. It's not my play. But, you know, you know, rest in peace, Bismarck, legendary MC, entertainer. George Clinton, of course, Parliament, legendary. DaBaby, legendary. So, you know, it's a little tradition of cats coming out, and he's DaBaby. So,
yeah. I thought it was genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ain't mad at that. I'm not mad
And sometimes,
at that.
Do you got to push the envelope sometimes to get noticed?
No, all the time. Like, so it's, you know, it's art. You know, we all create art. And then there's the business of art. Now, if you're going to participate in the business of art, you got to be seen. You got to be marketed. You got to be branded. You got to be a staple. You got to be a thing. You know, you can't just, you know, you can't just have great music. It has to be marketed properly. So in terms of a marketing scheme, and it was dope. You know, he got everybody's attention. And that's what you need, everybody's attention. And then you can do what you need to do from there.
Now, you reference my favorite artist of all time, especially coming up as a kid, Michael Jackson. And talking about the catalog, which there's a conspiracy behind that we know he owned the Beatles catalog. Uh-huh. And then I guess he bought his own catalog, right?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, he owned like half of Sony's publishing.
Something like that, but they say the rumor is that he was killed for that catalog.
Yeah, that's the rumor. That's the rumor. I just call it the irony of it all is that Michael Jackson was very principled in terms of his ownership over his catalog, whatever that is, right?
Yeah,
whatever that is. And he was publicly against, especially those people from getting it. Like it is. It's just the irony of it all, how it all unfolded, how it all, you know, transpired, and they end up with the catalog, you know. So Yeah.
And I got to ask you, like, do you think that's a catalog that almost anybody would kill for?
I wouldn't say anybody, but I'm sure there's some people who'll put the work in
there's a lot of money involved in that catalog, right? I mean, we're talking about Michael Jackson, yo.
Yeah, Michael Jackson, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, the Beatles. I don't know if he still had the Beatles by the time that all went down.
I don't know, but I know he did own the Beatles catalog or some of their catalog at one point.
Celine Dion was in there. Eminem was in there. I mean, shit, you know. Fugees.
Wait, so he owned some of Eminem's catalog?
I think so. Well, you know, there's a story about Eminem, I guess, disrespecting Michael Jackson in one of his songs. And then the joke is that Michael Jackson owns his publishing. So, yeah, you got to look that up. There's a little thing with Michael Jackson and Eminem. It might be urban legend. It might be on the BS. But there is a story about Eminem. You know, yeah, Eminem does. He goes in. He nobody's safe. He going to say have some ill metaphor that's outlandish. And he said something about Mike. And Mike was like, oh, word, okay.
Eminem didn't directly diss Michael Jackson 2005 song, but Eminem's song Just Lose It does reference Jackson's legal troubles. Which I'm guessing that was the thing they were saying with the kids or whatnot.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't even like, that's a problem with society now too. It's like, soon as allegations come out, the court of public opinion is already making their mind up about you one way or another.
Yeah. You see what happened with Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. Yeah.
The whole allegation against him and Puff, which was crazy. That just didn't seem right. It seemed very much out of character for Jay-Z. I mean, Puff is all caught up in his own mess.
Yeah. Mess. Yeah.
Jay-Z, I'm not really gonna ride with that one. But this guy, Tony Busby, the attorney that filed the case, you know, apparently he represents a lot of accusers. So it's like, if this one's cooked up and not right, how many other of his cases are cooked up and not right?
And I always say, like, even like the Deshaun Watson, there might be a few in there that might be legit, but then you got so many at once that, you know, some of them are just seeing opportunity. It's a money grab. The timing is right. Everybody, they got lawsuits. Oh, let me go ahead and say, throw my hat in the ring with that one too and get some money out of it. I just don't think, like, you know, I'm a C student, basic math, but the odds don't add up for me when I see all these women waited all for the same exact time. None of them had the courage to come out.
Yeah, I mean, that is a little suspect. That is a little suspect. But when you're in an environment, you know, it's hanging around a cesspool bound to get shit on. Like, things happen. And, you know, people feel one way today, they feel another way tomorrow, you know, and you know, sometimes people get caught up. So I don't know, you know, that whole situation is crazy. You know what I mean? But the atmosphere and what it breathes is kind of what I'm saying with the song "Don't Sell Your Ass."
And you got a line where it says, "We got to do better if the future is going to see it." What does that entail for doing better?
Man, doing better.
Yeah.
I mean, you promote negativity, you expect negativity.
Okay.
Like, you promote death, destruction, you promote certain lifestyles that we all know have an ending. That's either dead, jail, you know, something horrific. And you promote that, you know, you keep that energy around you. So if the future's gonna see the future, you know, somebody got to step up. Somebody's going to have to project something better. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't control these mechanisms that we're using. We don't control these platforms necessarily. We don't control these devices and these apps. And, you know, we see Meta and Facebook and, you know, all these different platforms are owned by individuals or small groups that can say, we don't like what you're saying. We're going to shut you off.
I've got censored with rarely, hardly any followers or subscribers at all. They try to censor me on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. All I did was react to a video that has no strikes to it, right?
Wow.
So the video I'm reacting to has no strikes. And I react to the video. And all I really said was, hey, I agree with everything they just said. And they like, oh, misinformation. I'm like, misinformation? All I did was say I agree with what they said, you know?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, since our ownership stake isn't what we need it to be, you know, we end up degrading ourselves, i.e. sell your ass. And most of the time it's for the cheap. It's not even like you really get anything from it, but likes and follows, you know, which is,
people think brings them validation.
There you go. Yep. Absolutely.
Now, are you still in touch with Tuffy? I never asked about him last time.
Yeah, no doubt. We speak regularly.
Does he still make music or not?
He's actually in the publishing game, music publishing game.
Okay.
Yeah, he does admin stuff in the publishing game. He's killing it. He still writes songs, but he's not, you know, in the booth recording raps. But he's good. He's good. Like I said, I spoke to him. We actually both just had birthdays. We're 7 days apart.
Okay.
So we kind of keep in touch for that. Yeah.
So there was something when you called me that day, you was like, I've been posting controversial stuff, but we started talking about something and I brought up the Eminem thing. I want to kind of go over that. Like I was saying that I totally get it and understand what people say that the only reason he's as big as he is because he's white, and his catalog definitely should validate that statement. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think Eminem is a pure hip hopper.
Mm.
I think he's
no arguing that.
He's an ill lyricist. I think Eminem's dope, you know. But we know what America is, and we know that, you know, people like to see people who reflect them.
Yeah,
and hip hop being such a dominant, you know, Black, African American, however you want to label it, Black and brown people dominated to get a white MC to reflect mainstream America, white America, you know, in comparison to everybody else, there's an advantage, but that's not his fault.
Yeah.
That's not like he's in terms of his respect for the craft and how he approaches it, like kudos, hats off. So yeah, that's how my take on Eminem.
And it's really, I mean,
and big up to Shade45, because again, you know, some people talk it, some people actually do it, and he's got a whole vehicle with it. Real hip hop is like, we can all agree you're gonna hear some real hip hop on Shade45. So kudos to Eminem for that.
Well, like I've heard, if he was Black, he'd be probably only Redman or something like that. Would he even be at that stature?
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, like,
this, we're talking about Redman here, you know.
Like, bars is bars, and Eminem got bars, so it's like not.
Yeah,
you know, he's not even. He's not one of my top five. I got a special little crew. That's late '80s. That's my thing, right? Is he one of the greats? Absolutely, he's one of the greats. You can't question that. In terms of record sale, that's what people get caught up in. Record, like,
how
many records you sold, right? He's gonna have a clear advantage because he's so dope and he represents most of America. So. Of course. However, that doesn't say that he's better or worse than anybody else. It still, I guess, comes down to preference. In terms of my preference, I go KRS-One, Rakim, Kool G Rap, Kane, Slick Rick. I said Kool G Rap, right?
Yeah.
Chuck D, Brother J. Like, there's like a mid to late 80s era that's just so impactful to me. And I think like how we relate to MCs has a lot to do with who we think is top, who's number one, who's this. If you coming up, you know, if you're a teenager from, say, you know, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, Drake is probably, you know, and now is a new generation. They're like Kendrick Lamar. And now it's, you know, it's hard to really, you know, is he that big? Is he of this one stature? I wouldn't want to disrespect Redman or disrespect Eminem by saying no. You know, they both dope MCs in their own right. I prefer Redman, but that's just me.
Well, and also the early Eminem was somewhat of a clone of Master Ace.
meets as is in slang tongue from the outsiders.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, so he wasn't like totally like his own man. He was like kind of, you know, a little bit of this guy, a little bit of that guy.
Yeah, but that's okay because that's how we all come up. Like, yeah. I don't care who you are. Like, there's somebody who came before you that, you know, you might be the only one that knows that, you know, yeah. You got a certain cadence from so-and-so.
Yeah.
Or you got a flow or style or a delivery or a way you approach your shit like so-and-so. Everybody's influenced by somebody else. You know, it's what you do with it. And, you know, for the most part, Eminem has steadily, you know, given us A+ material. You know, it's been a minute, but that's another story.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. It's been a hot minute.
You know, you get used to a certain thing. You be like, I'm looking for that thing. And that, you know. But anyway, that's my personal.
And you can't go off of sales simply because, like, you look at that album like Illmatic, which a lot of people would say is the greatest album of all time, right? I've heard a lot of people say that. And that album didn't win no Grammy. It didn't sell a lot of units. Then you look at the album next year after that, which I feel like it's my favorite album of all time, is the Mobb Deep Infamous. I mean, it wasn't winning no Grammys. And, you know, the record sales wasn't through the roof. But as far as beginning to end, man, I mean, I think it's a masterpiece.
Yeah, because it's the stands the test of time, you know. So it's like you got cult following, for lack of a better term, you know, where a project over time gains notoriety, you know, amongst the real heads, the people who are really into the art form of it, look for it. It's not so much about the commercial appeal and the mass appeal, no pun intended. Big shout out to Nas. But, you know, it's like the core people who are with it that grows exponentially over time. So it's like 10, 15, 20 years later, you're like, yo, that's one of the greatest projects of all time. And it didn't go gold. It didn't go platinum. You know what I mean? So it's because it wasn't a commercial hit. But the folks who really take the time to dig in know what it is. Yeah.
I see you do Madden Sports Tuesdays. What time you do that again?
7 p.m. Tuesdays. Myself, Wes. Okay. Coach E, Cliffy, KG, and Kai Will. And then we have guests on from time to time. And yeah, Madism Sports.
So let's get into a little just quick sports thing, man. LeBron versus Jordan, man. Who you got here?
LeBron, the GOAT.
How'd I know he's going to go LeBron?
Go James. Yeah.
So, make your argument, man.
I came up in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah. Right?
When in the 80s, when Jordan had never won a chip, he was my favorite player. Like, it was Dr. J, then it was MJ, right? And, you know, through the 90s, the best player on the best team. I was rocking with MJ all 6 championships. When he went to the Washington Wizards, I rocked with him with the Wizards. Like, I get it. I saw it. I know what that is. So as much as people focus on the highlights, there are a lot of lowlights that I remember.
Okay.
There were some mean years when Jordan was putting up crazy points. They wasn't winning no chips. They wasn't getting out of the first round. They couldn't beat the Boston Celtics. Couldn't beat the Detroit Pistons. You know what I mean? So it's like I look at him like when he left the Bulls the first time, they went back to the playoffs and made it to the second. You got Phil
I know you're Jackson. Talking about like they almost make it to the finals with Scottie Pippen and Kukoc.
For finals. They only lost 2 more games than the previous year with Mike Jordan on the team. So that's showing you how great a team Michael Jordan
and how good Pippen was, too, I think.
How good Pippen, how Phil Jackson. Now, in the 80s, when he was just chucking up shots, they wasn't winning anything. Phil Jackson said, hey, listen, you got to pull it back. We got this triangle offense. It's movement-oriented. You have to share the ball and make this thing work. Mike was resistant. Tex Winter and Phil Jackson convinced Mike to capitulate, play within the system, and being on the best team, they won six chips. Mike was the MVP in all six chips. No doubt. When LeBron James leaves a team, they can't make the playoffs, yo. He went to the chip eight times in a row on two different teams. The chemistry shift, the coaching, the everything changes, and his level of play remained way up here, dragging much, I'm talking about inferior teams to the chip than those Chicago Bull teams did in the 90s. Individually, to me, LeBron is the GOAT. He surpassed Jordan for me. Especially at 40 years old, basically putting up the same numbers he's been putting up for the last 22 years. It's crazy.
Like, this is, to me, the only argument, like, most people will say, all right, LeBron's more complete than Jordan. I can give you that because LeBron passed the ball a hell of a lot more than Jordan. And he was a better shooter. But, man, Jordan was far more relentless on defense. As many points as LeBron has, he's only led the league in scoring once. Jordan did it like 10 times, man.
Look at those field goal percentages. LeBron is not taking as many shots as Michael Jordan.
I get that.
You know, they say it took LeBron seven more years to surpass Michael Jordan's 30-point record.
Yeah.
It took LeBron James seven more years to surpass Michael Jordan's most 30-point games. But he did it on 1,500 less shots.
But who did Jordan have that could get their own shot?
It wasn't about getting your own shot. It was about a triangle offense. It's about the open man.
I mean, not before they brought in the triangle offense, though. Before that, I mean, Jordan had a bunch of bums,
but they wasn't winning nothing.
Yeah, that's because he had a bunch of bums.
Yeah, the first Cleveland team that LeBron was on went to the chip. He had a bunch of bums. Yo, LeBron leaves the team. They don't have 30 wins. When he left that first Cleveland team, they were one of the worst two teams in the league. With Kyrie Irving on the team, they didn't win 30 games. He goes to the team, they go right to the chip four times straight, and Kyrie left on the third one. They still went to the chip without Kyrie. Even Michael Jordan said the second time he retired, why are you retiring, Michael? Because they're not bringing back Phil. What happened when he went to the Wizards?
I still got to go with Jordan, too, because he never allowed no finals. He allowed anybody get past six games. It was over.
Excuse me. John Paxson and Steve Kerr didn't let anybody. See, y'all kill me with this. Oh, Ray Allen saved LeBron's legacy. All right, cool.
So I didn't say that.
I'm just saying that John Paxson, what was that? Was that first series? Where they John Paxson scored like the last 10 points in the last 4 minutes. We did some crazy. It was all John Paxson.
Paxson was around the first three. I remember that. And Kerr was in the second three.
John Paxson. But, you know, Mike did his thing in the series, of course. He's Michael Jordan. He's the greatest player. You know, he's the greatest player of all time, in my opinion. But he's playing on the greatest team. Different effect. LeBron leaves Cleveland. They're the worst team in the league. He goes to Miami. He goes to the chip four times in a row. Leaves Miami. Goes back to Cleveland. They're one of the worst teams in the league. He switches coaches midseason. They still go to the chip. Come on. Four times in a row. 10 times total. Come on, man. Like, you know, the greatest 10-year career of all time, Michael Jordan. The greatest 20-plus year career of all time, LeBron James.
Hey, let's get into another controversial kind of topic. A lot of people have been talking about this one lately. Halftime of the Super Bowl. What was your opinion?
Oh, that shit was magnificent. my initial response was I wasn't impressed because of the way it was shot, and I couldn't hear him.
Okay.
But once he pulled back, once you pull back the layers and you see all the stuff that he did, I mean, bringing out Serena, she was dope. Sam Jackson, she was dope. The whole prison yard shit to me, that shit was dope. But to get the replay, and you got the controller, game over at the end. You know, the little messages he's sending specifically to Drake throughout the joint with the A and the, like, he went in.
He looked at Drake when he said, you know, about him like a young kid. He looked at the camera. He had this like evil look, yo.
Man, this dude is magnificent. Because again, it's about the art. Like, it's the art, and art is to be studied. It's to be enjoyed. You know, it's supposed to be entertaining. It's supposed to be some entertainment value. But the entertainment is just the capturing of your imagination is the entertainment part. Now, what do I do while I got you captured? And he layers his stuff with things that's like, you know, you don't have to be the biggest Kendrick fan to appreciate how he lays down his art.
Mm-hmm.
And it's shit is amazing. And the more you study his art, the more you get out of it. So it's really not about the first listen or the first viewing or the first. It's about, all right, when you get to peeling back the layers, you're going to be your mind, boom, mind blown. So that's how I felt about his performance. It was dope.
I mean, he definitely solidified himself as the GOAT of this last era, like 10, 15 year era, wouldn't you say?
I mean, Drake was the GOAT of this era.
Well, he was. Yeah, he just, 200 hits.
He just dethroned the GOAT. So I don't know, you know, this era, you know, the greatest of this era, however you say that's not the GOAT then, because greatest of all time. You can't be the greatest of your own era and be the GOAT. The GOAT is the GOAT. That's why LeBron is the GOAT. Joey.
Well, I posted recently that if Kendrick was in the 90s, I think he would have just been another rapper.
Yeah, because like there's so many things at play. Like what he's saying and what he stands for is not original, but it hasn't been executed properly in a long time.
Oh, yeah, like, I agree with that.
Like, Public Enemy, to me, is the epitome. Is like, does anybody compare him to? Because he's so deep and he's so black, it's so revolutionary, it's so stand-up, it's so that. Nobody's been able to do that and capture the mainstream at all. Like, the mainstream kind of like, we're not fucking with that. You know, rappers, you know, gangsters, pimps, hoes, you know, that's kind of where we at with y'all. He's been able to crack that door, like knock that door down and be like, nah, we got something to say, you know, as a people, as an art form, you know, as a culture. It's more than just the lollipop bullshit. And there's a place for Drake. I'm not hating on Drake. There's a place for him. But it's good to see a Kendrick Lamar be able to garner that type of attention, saying the things that he's saying.
Well, I mean, even if you throw in a cat like Cole and Kendrick are literally been at the top of the game.
Yes.
It seems like, but it's only, I think the issue is there's only so many of those guys. There's only two of them. Like, why don't we got at least maybe 20 of them or something?
Because of capitalism.
Yeah.
Capitalism, like, you know, when you got niggas on, fuck bitches, get money, fuck niggas, get the national anthem. This is this great song. Twisted, like, that's my shit. Big shout out to Dream Mafia. You know, Biggie's one of my favorite artists of all time, hands down. Don't get it twisted. However, you know, just thinking of the program and what we on, you know, and because the music is so good, you know, with the Chronics, one of my favorite albums. We talking about Illmatic, greatest albums of all time. Shit for me. The Chronics, one of the great, that shit blew my mind.
It is.
When I first heard it, it was like front to back. Ah, shit, it's masterpiece.
Everything about
production, lyricism, the skits, the whole shit. Legendary piece of work. But when you raising babies on Bitches Ain't Shit But Hoes and Tricks,
like someone that just sucks the dick.
You know what I mean? Like, when we get to where we at, you like, forget about Bitches Ain't Shit now. You know, Hoes and Tricks. You know, so it's like, you know, we say, you know, all these different, you know, artists, what they represent, the music, like, it's all great. But there's all this other stuff over here that's great too. And it doesn't benefit the powers to be to expose people to it because they'd rather keep us dumbed down. So,
but that was the beauty of the 90s. If you wanted conscious, you had conscious rappers. If you wanted what the labels call gangster rappers, you had gangster rappers.
Yep, yep.
You wanted Two Live Crew, the sex rapping, there you go. If you want backpack rapping, here you go. If you want the clean, what I call the clean rappers, like the Will Smiths of the world, there you go. Now it's just like, all right, this is all we got.
Yeah, it became about a numbers game. Money, who's selling the most? Who went gold? Who went platinum? If you didn't do certain numbers in a certain amount of time, you were considered a flop. There was no artist development was removed. You know, it's just, you know, you threw it against the wall. If it didn't stick, all right, on to the next, you know, and copycat, you know, America is about what works. Okay, everybody copy that.
Yeah.
It's around until it don't work no more. You know, and for the last, you know, shit, since probably 94, 95, actually KRS was warning us back then in 93, 94. He was like, yo, man, y'all too conscious. He's like, y'all too educated. I'm a school teacher. We both college, you know, college educated. Like, yo, man, y'all gonna go over everybody's heads. You got to dumb it down. And we kind of lucked out with Madism, be honest with you, because we was trying to, you know, miracle, lyrical, miracle. And Jogus was like, nah, the gun, nigga, the gat, load my shit, nigga, the nine, nigga, get it cracking. And that's not what people wanted to hear, not the mainstream.
No. Yeah, because your song for the ladies, which was one of my favorites, Sex to the Sport of It.
Sex for the Sport.
Could that have worked as the first single?
Oh, man.
I mean, I really like the record. I mean, it's like a conscious sex record. Right,
you know what happened? You know, it's so, in doing the album, we had done Sex for the Sport of It, Station Identification, and the Salaam Remy joints, Alpha and Omega, Lock It Up. And Alpha Omega, Lock It Up, Homicide Ride. We did those first. When Chris came back off tour, he wanted to scrap the whole album. He didn't like anything that we did. He thought it was too pansy. He thought it was too glingy. It sounds too weak. You know, y'all need some boom. This shit. So we did Down Goes the Devil. This shit.
Down goes the devil. Booyaka, booyaka. Down goes the devil.
We did that shit. We did Reprogram.
Reprogram.
We did Madism. Who You Represent. And I'm missing something. But we did the KRS-One joints. And we sent out a test. We sent out a sampler that would pretty much the hard joints, the KRS-One joints. Madism. Oh, Cause and Effect was the one I couldn't think of. Cause and Effect. Okay. What? Effect. So it was What, Cause and Effect, Madism, Reprogrammed, Graham, Down Goes the Devil got sent out. And the DJs unanimously said, Madism is that joint. Me and Tuffy wanted Cause and Effect because it was a song encouraging people not to use the words nigga and bitch.
Okay.
Yeah, we wanted that to be the single. And the DJs was like, nah, Madism is your single. So that's why we went with Madism.
So the DJs chose that.
Yeah. And the what we did is we sent it out as a straight white label. So Capitol's imprint wasn't on the label. You didn't know you were getting it from Capitol because Capitol had just dropped Hammer. Their reputation of hip hop in terms of street underground hip hop was like null and void. So it was like not to have any Capitol whack juice on us. We're going to send it out as a straight white label. Big shout out to LO7 Self and Malik Levy for the idea, service the record, and, you know, DJs fell in love with it. That was it.
I want to get into, we talked about the 9/11 conspiracy last time, which me and you totally agreed on, you know. I want to just get in a few and see what you think about some. And just like, you could yay or nay, and if there's one you want to go further in, just, you know, just stop me. Moon landing, was that fake?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the moon landing was fake.
Government killed JFK.
When you say government, people within the government, yes. The government, no.
Okay.
Yeah, not everybody's not down. Everybody's not a part of it. Everybody in the government. Are there people who in the government? Yeah, inside and outside the government, I think we're involved. So that's like really takes us no further than we were before you asked me a question. But yeah, some people in the government were involved. Yeah, absolutely.
The Denver International Airport is Illuminati's headquarters. You got any any insight on that one?
I did check it out, and it is something else. It's scary. It's scary.
So you went there and checked it out?
The mural, like the big art piece they got with all the symbols and everything they got going on. Yeah, I seen it, and you know, it's interesting. It's interesting. So you know, I do think that there are what do you call it? Ley lines, and there are points on the grid, on the Earth's grid, that are like energy centers. And there's ways of harnessing the energies, ways of doing things structurally with buildings and how you position things to harness the natural energy that exists from the Earth.
Wasn't that what the pyramids were supposed to be for, harnessing energy?
Yeah, but that's what they say. That's what they say. Part of it, a part of what it was for.
Yeah.
Whether it's that, Stonehenge. You know, anytime you bring material, matter together, mounds, mountains, you know, when you, like they be, it's energy. You know, you bring matter together, it's going to create more energy because everything is energy. So the more of it that exists, tense, tight, and you, anyway.
COVID-19 vaccine has a 5G chip inside of it. Is that, what do you think?
Man, I don't know, but I want to tell you a story.
Okay.
Okay, so forever and a day, I was considered the conspiracy theory Don Dada. I got a song called Conspiracy Theory. It's on YouTube, right? I've been addressing conspiracy theories in my music since the 90s. You know, I read all the classics, all the great books, Behold the Pale Horse.
Yeah.
Rule by Secrecy, Jim Mars. Conspiratorials, Hierarchy, Committee of 300, all of them, all the Trilateral Commission, all that shit, layers, Skull and Bones, all that shit, right? So when Obama got elected and he came in with Obamacare, I didn't vote for Obama twice because they're going to use the black man to usher in Illuminati.
So you voted for the first time?
Nah, neither time.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, I did. I voted for him for the first time.
Yeah, I didn't vote for him either time because I felt that they were going to use the black man to usher in the Illuminati. This was all, you know, some wicked shit going down. Yeah. How they going to do this is they're going to force us into this insurance system. And in order to get the insurance, you're going to have to get the chip. So Obamacare, the ACA was a ruse to get everybody in a system to get everybody chipped and monitored, right? So I met my wife, and we were together for a few years leading up to Obamacare. Well, Obamacare got implemented.
Mm-hmm.
She and my mom convinced me to go get Obamacare because I didn't have any health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Walking around 40 at the time, 40 some years old, ain't got no health insurance. Boy, get some health insurance. You know what I mean? You're getting older now, shit happens.
Yeah.
I'm not getting it. This is the whole, I'm going to all the books and I'm showing, look, and then they're going to get us in the chip us. I'm telling you, it's how they're going to do it. They're going to get the black man to mesmerize motherfuckers and everybody going to get chipped. So after getting beat in my head for a few months, I decided to sign up. I signed up. 3 months later, I broke my wrist. Now, I got something going on, some type of condition that's been fucking with me for like 20 years. And my mother kind of has the same thing. I mean, severe neuropathy I go through, severe. If I eat the wrong things, if, you know, diet ain't right, whatever, my hands cramp up, I can't use them. It's crazy, right? But I didn't know that. I'm getting to the point in a second. I'm getting there. I see you bearing with me.
Now you good. Right.
So I didn't know that. So when I get casted for the broken wrist, I'm going through changes in the cast and I can't figure out, I mean, I'm in utter pain, like I'm crying. I'm telling the surgeon, yo, you got to take the cast off. Something's going on. He was like, Mr. Green, your surgery was the wrist. There should be no reason why you're feeling pain in your forearm. So we take the cast off, x-ray, MRI. Bones in my hand are floating. So they had to do another surgery where they put a plate. You probably see the scar. But they put a plate in my wrist from here to here. And then this, my ulna had popped, so they had to fix the ulna and put pins and needles in there. Anyway, shit cost a lot of money that I did not have. If it wasn't for Obamacare, I wouldn't have use of my left hand right now.
Yeah.
All right. So conspiracy theories keeps you standing still. It's Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. It's a rabbit hole that you're never going to get to the end of it. And even if you got to the end, you couldn't do shit about it anyway.
Anyways, yeah.
So focus on what you can control in your life and don't let people talk you out of your own empowerment.
Yeah.
Your own benefit. Your own. We should all have universal health care. It shouldn't cost us anything. So another thing that happened to me is I went back home to Newark, New Jersey, and started working in local politics. Well, I started a company called 24 Hours of Peace. We do a 24-hour peace festival in Newark, New Jersey every year since 2010. Right. Every year except for COVID year in 2018. 13 years in. We've had all your favorite hip-hop artists. Queen Latifah, KRS-One, Fat Joe, Talib Kweli, Big Daddy Kane, Maya, Monifa, Moni Love, Rod Digger, Lords of the Underground, Do It All, Naughty by Nature. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. It's a 24-hour peace concert pushing, promoting peace, love, unity, safely having fun. We do it in conjunction with the Office of Violence Prevention and Trauma Recovery and the Brick City Peace Collective, which are two offices set up by the now mayor, who I'm partnered with doing this concert, to deal with real-life trauma, gang intervention, job creation, getting people jobs, educational services, right? The mayor organizing the local populace, he was the Southward Councilman, Central High School principal, became the mayor of Newark, New Jersey. He's been that mayor for the last 12 years, 13 years.
Wow.
Lowest crime rate since the 67 riots. Newark is a city on the move. Still a lot of work to go. He's currently running for governor. Now, I seen somebody who is an outsider, son of Amiri Baraka, junior poet laureate, radical, militant, like radical, like militant, stand up for the people, become the mayor because he organized the local people for political power. And now here we are. So I say all that to say, we don't want to get so wrapped up in conspiracy theories that we don't really deal with the things that we can do, which really have an effect on our life directly, as opposed to who killed JFK, what, you know, was 9/11 an inside job? I have my opinions. I have my beliefs. But is that going to help me pay my mortgage? No.
No.
Is that going to help me? I'm 56 years old. My mom is 75 years old. I need Medicaid. I need Medicare. I want a strong, robust social service system because I'm going to be elderly and I'm going to need people to take care of me and my wife. Like, it's those types of things that we kind of lose sight of. We get caught up in all this other shit, and that's how they're going to get us. So how they're going to chip us is they're going to crash the economy and force everybody to sign up for Elon Musk and Trump's fucking Bitcoin.
But do you think they have to chip us at this point? I mean, they're already tracking us.
No, because they want to shift the tracking is one thing.
Yeah.
How do commerce and controlling it is different.
Well, I thought that's what the digital currency was. I thought that's what digital currency was for, basically.
That's kind of what I'm saying. But yeah, I can still go get cash.
Yeah.
I can still go get, like, I can still not, I don't have to deal on blockchain.
Yeah.
I don't have to deal in a world where, you know, I could just shut you off. I still have the ability to kind of do business in cash, barter, trade. not everything's tracked. Not everything is because, you know, your man Elon Musk.
Well, barter and trade is like supposed to be the number one currency. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the internet crashed tomorrow, you're gonna have to barter and trade. You're gonna trade some eggs for some bread, right? You know, and things of that nature.
So I saw a piece on, I forget the town, it's in Minnesota. I want to say it's the same town where the George Floyd incident occurred, the George Floyd murder occurred, right? Minneapolis, I think, maybe.
I know that's in Minnesota. Okay. I think that was in Minneapolis.
It was uncovered that Target, the store Target, is running a program with law enforcement in Minneapolis. Target has set up cameras all throughout the city, not on Target's property, all throughout the city, and they collect data in cooperation with law enforcement.
So they got like cameras set up just like on all telephone poles and stuff like that. And so they're basically funding it with this, what you're saying.
And the Target, the company,
is
working with law enforcement there and is funding these surveillance systems.
Why would a chain like that do that, though?
Data collection. They said in the piece that I saw, the guy said that Target is a data collection agency fronting as a supermarket or whatever he called it, a market. And it's really
that's kind of like you know, McDonald's really ain't a burger chain. It's really a real estate company.
It's really a real estate company. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But it's scary that they would be watching us off their premises as well, though. Like, it's one thing to say we got camera systems set up in Target or outside, directly outside of our building. It's another thing to say, like a mile and a half, 2 miles down, we have a whole system that follows people. So you leave our store and we can watch you go here. Like, that's kind of crazy.
And that's why, like, you know, I'm a music promoter. So TikTok is really big in the music promotion scene. And that's why I don't really buy into this. Like, even if China is tracking the data, I really don't care because US is too. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they, like you just said, Target is tracking, you know, people for data. That's crazy. I mean,
you know, and not just for data. So everybody, you know, make sure you stay legal, stay above board. Because, you know, it's they're watching you. So it's like you would think that the conspiracy theory unfolds this way. In actuality, the conspiracy theory unfolds in another way, you know, and it's like you find yourself actually leaning towards your enslavement by buying into the conspiracy theory community and what they say about Big Brother and the deep state and this, that, and the third. And the more you get into it, you realize, man, it's been y'all motherfuckers the whole time.
Yeah, and society is convinced everybody they need a phone. They put out the family packages. Oh, your wife needs one. All your kids need one. You know, when we were young, we didn't need cell phones to be safe. But then they like, oh, you know, kids need a cell phone to be safe. Nah, y'all just want to track everybody's movements and everybody's actions. And
yo, KRS put out an album a long time ago called Technology Versus Barbarism, right? Which was just that. It's like, we're not becoming more civilized because we have more technology. We're actually becoming less civilized because technology is to take over. And it's just, you know, the future's here. I want to say it's scary, but then at the same time, you know, you got to be ready for it. So I don't want to be afraid of what the future has in store. I don't think anybody should be afraid of it, but being afraid of our own ignorance is the thing.
Yeah.
Ignorant and how this thing works, how it's being integrated in our everyday lives. And, you know, we got to figure out. The learning curve is crazy, but it's like you can't escape it. But how do you deal with it in a way that, you know, you're not a slave to it? That's hard.
You know, I got hit by a car some years ago and broke my femur, broke every toe of my foot, dislocated my shoulder. And after that moment, I realized, like, you can't really live in fear, man. That shit will, if you do it every day, you wake up every day living in fear. I mean, all that's going to do is stress you out. And stress is no, mm-hmm. stress will kill you faster than anything, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but not, but knowledge, you know, having the knowledge of what these things are, these devices, these systems, these data collection tools mm-hmm. that they have, how they work, how they inform on us, like having that information, that knowledge helps you to be less afraid, you know, like, because, you know, you cannot be afraid, but if you don't fucking know what the fuck is going on, shit'll smack you.
I think something that's killing us is society, because, see, I'm a laws of nature guy. I don't really believe in man's religion. I'm kind of more on what the Native Americans, mm-hmm. you know, I think they got it. They had it right. You know, you just right. live off the land. They were spiritual and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But we're at a point in society, we're just too dependent on too many things. Mm-hmm. And once, if we lose all those things overnight, I would argue probably 8 or 9 out of every 10 people would not be able to survive.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate, because really, if we could do without it, we would become healthier.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're dependent on people to get our food for us. That's why we get fucked up food. Because we're not getting our food ourselves, like Native Americans. You go out, you know, or like, even you got tribes still in Africa where they go out and they hunt for food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I saw a piece that talked about when human beings, like if you're indigenous to Africa, mm-hmm. indigenous to Native America, mm-hmm. you're indigenous, and you move to another continent where the food mm-hmm. source is a different soil, comes from a different place, or you're different, eating different foods that you weren't raised up on, like it's not traditional food, that your health declines because of it. There's wow. a direct correlation between like people over groups of people, not just like one or two people, just like,
so like if Mexicans moved to Italy and just started eating Italian food all the time, it would like,
yeah, your health would, it would affect your health. Or if, like, you know, you're somebody who was, you know, a Chinese diet. Mm. Come here, and now all you're eating is fast food, and you're eating like it's gonna do you bad. Yeah. Or, you know, Africans who were enslaved, brought to the Americas, and instead of eating yam and eating, you know, whatever else they had going on, now they're forced to eat,
like pork diet, and stuff,
a diet that was for Native Americans.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's not just, you know, unhealthy food. It's how the food is grown. Like, when we're people of from the earth.
It's food their bodies are not used to and haven't right. adjusted to. Yeah.
Right. If you know, you're from the earth. Literally, your people, they're from the earth that they came out of. You get what I'm saying? Not literally.
Yeah, yeah. No, that seems like that could be true.
If your diet,
you're eating one thing and then you go start eating something else,
you come over here and think you're gonna eat. Nah, it's not gonna work out well for you over time and across, you know, generations, as opposed to just say this group of people who come from somewhere else and their homeland have a lifespan of, say, 92, and then when you look at them here, their lifespan mm-hmm. is like 86. Relative to the switch in
That's
foods.
Crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, everybody's diet is different. Everybody's everybody's chemical makeup is different. I just got a blood test the other day, and I got some things going on directly related to eating, what I'm eating. I'm a healthy person. I'm in the gym, you know, every day. I drink tons of water. I eat fruits, but, you know, some other things I got to, where another person who doesn't look as healthy don't have the issues I have. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not the healthiest eater, but I don't really have a lot of health issues.
Yeah.
So what can we expect in the future from you, man?
Man, well, Right now, we pushing Don't Sell Your Ass. I need everybody to go to HakeemGreen.com, HakeemGreen.com, and you can get merch. Don't Sell Your Ass merch. Mad is a merch. You can get music. I got an album along with, produced by Ron Lawrence called Aubrey with Carl Thomas, KRS-One, Freeway, CeeLo Green, G Simone, Mary Baraka Jr., Do It All Kelly, and Malik Youssef. You can cop that from HakeemGreen.com, but then I have a lot of music on there that you can access for free, downloads. Don't Sell Your Ass is a free download. And yeah, check out HakeemGreen.com. Also, check out 24HRS of Peace, 24 Hours of Peace, Inc.com. Catch up on what we're doing in Newark, New Jersey with 24 Hours of Peace. The next concert is August 22nd, 23rd. We're putting it together right now. 24 Hour Peace, Love, Unity, Safely Having Fun. Literally 24 hours, 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday, outdoors in the heart of Newark, New Jersey, right there in the hood, Central Avenue, South 10th, August 22nd, August 23rd. I see y'all there.
Can we see you running for like councilman in the future? Because I know Do It All is a councilman.
No. Nah, that's not my shtick. However, I'm very supportive of my brother Do It All Kelly, of course, the mayor. And just the whole, Newark City government is A+. That's my people's. And Do It All is representing us lovely as a hip hopper who's a councilman in the West Ward, which is actually where we're having 24 Hours of Peace this year. We did it there last year in the West Ward. We do it again this year in the West Ward.
That's what's up.
Do It All, Kelly.
Before we let you go, any shout outs you want to do?
Oh man, I'm gonna shout you out, bro.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. And, once again, everybody go to HakeemGreen.com and support. HakeemGreen. Holla at your boy.
And every Tuesday, Madism Sports, 7 p.m.
Madism Sports. Big shout out to the fellas, Westcliff, Coach E, KG, Kai Will. Every Tuesday, we're talking about how LeBron James is the GOAT. Actually, I'm the only one who says that. Everybody else is like Jordan, and I'm crazy. But it is what it is.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out. You're more than welcome to come on anytime you want, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
All right, man. Enjoy your night.
You too, bro. Peace.
All right, peace. Well, there you have it. Really, really fun interview with Hakeem Green, Channel Live. Y'all know about Channel Live. Go check them out. They had the album Station Identification back in the days. A lot of bangers on there. Reprogram, Madism, Sex for the Sport of It. Down Goes the Devil, Booyaka, Booyaka, Down Goes the Devil. Should get a bunch of good clips in there. Very interesting perspective. I want to stay on the Jordan and LeBron too long because that I could debate that for days. We talked about Don't Sell Your Ass. Go check that out on HakeemGreen.com. He has references of academics and Vlad in there, Sexy Red, Michael Jackson. And just pop culture and mainstream rap culture in general as well. And I listen to it a few times a day. I really like it. It's a good record. It's definitely what we lack in the hip-hop. Everybody's on, I guess you could say, a lot of degrading music, degenerate music. I guess a lot of music that's just really for wow factors and shock factors. And shout out to Tuffy. Love to see if about we can possibly interview him soon as well. He doing his thing in the publishing game. We talked about Marshall, of course. He agrees with me. The moon landing was fake. And the government killed JFK. He said he does think people inside the government had something to do with that. And the Denver International Airport is Illuminati headquarters. Somebody needs to verify that for me. I mean, that's an interesting one. They got the mural. I didn't even get into some of these other ones like The World is Flat, Roswell, Crash and Cover Up, which I do believe, there was a UFO crash in Roswell. I just think technology is just advanced so fast in such a short period of time. Let me give you all a quick commercial break, and I'm going to come right back for maybe a few minutes.
ratchet, bubble up. I ain't gon' lie, I cannot get enough. When Caddy said I need another one, gon' have you coming back for more. But go get it while it's hot, for be sold out in your stores. That Dizzle.
That's right. I really mean it. You could Dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave, tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. So you Dizzle on ice, and it's nice. Want to order your very own bottle or bottles, go to DizzleBrand.com. I'll be doing music reviews tomorrow, probably 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern time. Make sure y'all submit to livefromfayetteknam@gmail.com. Appreciate everybody tuning in on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Instagram was a little slow tonight. Look like Illa G tuned in earlier, though. Shouts out to my man, Illa G. Go check that. Check out the interview with Illa G on Live from Vietnam. Make sure y'all follow on all social medias at Live from Vietnam, except Twitter is Vietnam Live, but Live from Vietnam on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. I go live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube every 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday. Don't know who we got interviewed next week. I'm trying to, I got to follow up with Aguilar. But I do got some interviews coming soon. They won't be live. They will be pre-recorded. But we got Sonny Chiba from Camp Flow. Or Camp Low, my bad. Sonny Chiba, Camp Low, and Nine. The rapper Nine. Some of y'all might remember Nine. Had the album Nine Lives back in the days. And I got some other people should be hitting me back soon. Waiting on a reply from the GOATs. Got a follow-up with Aguilar, so hopefully I have Aguilar next week. If not, I'm going to try to probably see if there's a local artist that wants to take that slot. But, yep, we're going to wrap it up here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Don't forget tomorrow, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, live music reviews. Next Friday, hopefully we'll have an interview on. We got more interviews on the way as well. Don't forget the Paul Pickett podcast. I just dropped 2 interviews. Also, don't forget we did Sadat X last week. Go check that out. The interview with Sadat X for Brand Nubian and Paul Pickett podcast. I just did an interview with Ruben Ware. And I just did another interview with Jay Axon Jackson. So go follow that Paul Pickett podcast on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, and more. And that's it. I don't really got nothing music industry to really talk about tonight. But appreciate y'all tuning in. Peace, and I'm out.